The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Income tax cuts seem to be on the table for October's budget. The Public Expenditure Minister Jack Chambers signalled a softening of the Fianna Fáil position on supports for workers. So is it the right move? Well, I'm joined now by co-director of the Nevin Economic Research Institute, Dr. Tom MacDonald, and Shay Brennan, Fianna Fáil TD and spokesperson on finance. And good morning to you both. Shay, if I can start with you. I mean, we don't seem to be talking about indexation here. We're talking about a real income tax cut that would put money back into people's pockets. Are you in favour?
Good morning, Claire. Yeah, well, look, with all this going on in the world, we can't realistically sit here in April and say that we'll be in a position to provide tax cuts in the October budget. But I think it is fair to say that, you know, should headroom be available, then we will look to prioritise a tax package for workers. Because it is fair to say that workers have been the engine of our economic success to date, and we do have to ensure that they share in that success. So it's very much incumbent on us, you know, therefore, to consider tax cuts where finances provide the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, what we heard yesterday, though, Shay, went a bit further than if there is headroom. I mean, Simon Harris, the finance minister, said that it will be introduced in a time of challenge. And Jack Chambers said it will be given a priority, given that last year workers didn't get a break.
Well, I think what he said is it'll be given a priority if it's possible. And bear in mind, a windfall surplus doesn't provide that opportunity in a way that can be sustained year after year. And that's what's important in a tax package.
Mm-hmm. We as a government are committed to a personal income tax package in the budget. There doesn't seem to be much doubt about it.
Well. It's certainly something that government would be determined to provide if it's possible to do that. And we saw some very strong figures yesterday. But I do have to stress that it's early days. It's April. Mm-hmm. That was something that wasn't expected. What we need to look at is the underlying core economy. And yeah. If the underlying core economy is strong and will provide an opportunity to do that, then government would be keen to do it.
You're being more cautious about it than the Minister for Finance and the Minister for Public Expenditure. I'm just going back over what was said yesterday by Jack Chambers. I think for any tax package, it will have to be a priority in the context of budget 2027. So they're leading out on this. They're saying this will be the number one thing that we want to do.
Well, yeah, and if we could focus on where it's going with that, which is the core economy, that actually is in a strong position. And it's in a strong position, you know, in no small thanks to the investment that's been made in it over the years in creating sustainable jobs and investing in business. And that has brought us to the point that we can now afford to look at the underlying finances. And I'm not talking about the corporation profit tax.
Okay. But are you worried about it? Are you worried about the government giving that commitment on income tax cuts?
No, I think the headroom will be there to do that. All I'm saying is this is April. There's a lot going on in the world at the moment. A lot of it's external to us. A lot of it's out of our control. Uh-huh. And Ireland is a small economy, an open economy, a successful economy, but we're very vulnerable to international shocks.
So you'd be saying to Jack Chambers, careful now with the promises here, because you mightn't be able to do it, even though he clearly feels, as does Simon Harris, that they will.
Well, look, Jack and other ministers in positions around finance, public expenditure, in recent times have been particularly prudent and have been investing in the economy and only looking at tax cuts where it's possible to do that. And now I think we're at a point that we have made sufficient investments in the economy that it is strong enough, it is sustainable enough that we can now look to actually introduce those tax cuts and give something back to higher press
workers.
Okay,
well, let's bring Tom in here, Dr. Tom MacDonald. And I assume you would like to see people being treated fairly so that tax rates would be indexed so that, you know, you would be trying to counter inflation. How do you feel, though, about income tax cuts that put money back into people's pockets?
Yeah, part of the there might be, a misperception here. Often the debate about tax indexation, some people call it tax cuts. Others say it's just bringing back people back to where they were. So it may be that the minister was referring to tax indexation rather than a broader tax cutting package. What I would say as well is that, you know, you'll appreciate, of course, the tax indexation is really just bringing back people to where they were. So if you've inflation of 3-4%, then you would have, then, you know, someone on 50,000 is that bit poorer, and therefore you index the bands basically to compensate for them for that.
Yeah.
And indexation
I just think what we heard yesterday, Tom, and I don't know whether you feel there's ambiguity here, but like Simon Harris said, I really do believe that a personal income tax package is important in terms of assisting people in keeping a little bit more of their own money and making sure that work always pays. That doesn't say indexation to me, does it? To you?
Well, what they might be thinking there perhaps is that to compensate for what didn't happen in Budget 2026, where the indexation that might have been expected for workers went to the 9% VAT cut, that they might be looking at something in the range of a double indexation perhaps in Budget 27, but that it doesn't necessarily imply what we think in terms of overall tax cuts. So they may seek to gain the money back from a double indexation somewhere else. The Commission on Tax and Welfare, for example, you know, identified 15 billion in potential tax increases that would be needed over the next generation or so just to pay for aging demographics and things like that. So there's a lot of areas in terms of tax expenditures, capital taxation, and those type of areas. I would be very surprised and disappointed to see more tax breaks, for example, in Budget 2027, or tax cuts in the areas of, let's say, capital gains tax or capital or inheritance tax, areas that really won't help anyone that's experiencing a cost of living crisis at the moment. But just to the earlier conversation, the economy is doing very well at the moment. So this isn't an economy that necessarily needs a big fiscal stimulus. So if there is to be a tax cutting package on the income tax side, I would be of the view that that needs to be compensated elsewhere within the taxation system through increases.
Okay, so on capital gains tax then, Shay, and inheritance tax, you heard Tom saying there, that's not going to help people with cost of living. Do you still think that those issues should be tackled in the budget?
Yeah, I do, in fact. And I think from the capital gains tax perspective, we do need to encourage investments. That certainly should be something that's looked at. With regards to an inheritance tax, that's more down to an underlying fairness argument. And that's something that does, in my view, need to be corrected and does need to be looked at. But I think the priority for the upcoming budget, if there is headroom to provide tax cuts, does need to be a focus on workers. People are feeling the pinch. There's undoubtedly a cost of living issues out there. And people who have been working hard to provide, I do need to have that little bit of space, and governments, if it's available to them, do need to look at tax cuts to make that possible.
Do you feel now, given what we heard yesterday about the financial health of the economy, that you will have constituents perhaps reasonably coming to you and saying, look, here's what you need to do with that surplus, give us some of it back?
Yeah, a surplus is a double-edged sword, as we know. You've seen figures yesterday of a 9 billion surplus, and that becomes the headline. So people don't necessarily look at the detail behind that. And of course, that spurs many interested groups who've been campaigning, you know, rightly, for additional resources for years to say, I'd like to get my share of that. And, we do have to be conscious that people do need to receive more where it's available. However, we do have to also recognise that we have limited resources and we have to be prudent around them.
Tom, I have messages here about the USC. Can we please discuss the removing of the temporary tax, the USC, and the higher rates of tax, PRSI and USC, below 50%, because it's the middle income families who get hit the hardest by all taxes. Now, the USC brings in around or about 5 billion a year to the exchequer. We're unlikely to say goodbye to it anytime soon, Tom.
No, I don't expect so. And the reason the USC was brought in was because we had so catastrophically mismanaged our public finances that essentially we had to find ways of, you know, plugging the dam. And the USC is really just a form of income tax, except that less tax breaks and less tax expenditures apply to it. It would be deeply unwise over the medium to longer term to get rid of USC. Those kind of figures, 5 billion, are not something that could be realistically countenanced by any responsible economist, for sure. And I know people will say, look, that economist can say one thing, but our job is to give the best advice in terms of what we think is necessary for the long-term sustainability and health and quality of life of people living in Ireland. And that USC money goes to provide funding for health, for education, for all of the infrastructure needs in terms of energy, water, all of those things that we're going to need to build a healthy, vibrant economy out into the future. And I would also point out that, you know, income taxes, which include USC, are not high in Ireland relative to other countries.
You're going to drive people mad now, Tom, saying that.
I may do so, but, you know, facts are facts in this regard. Compared to other Western European countries, they pay much higher taxes than we do. And we're able to do that partially because of our corporation tax windfall, which allows us essentially to tax lower elsewhere. But that makes us very, very reliant, perilously reliant on the health of about half a dozen U.S. multinationals who at the stroke of a pen could decide to move their intellectual property assets to the United States. And all of a sudden we have a significant fiscal crisis. And so we need to protect ourselves against that. We're doing that. We're saving about $7 billion each year. That's good. We need to, in terms of the future funds, we need to save more than that. That doesn't mean that we won't be able to increase spending and have some very modest tax cuts in the years coming out ahead. It just means that we need to take a longer term perspective on this.
So, Shay, do you think, sorry to cut across you, Tom, Shay, do you think that people will feel that it is fair and reasonable if they see very modest tax cuts in October?
Yeah, I think the fact that we're moving to tax cuts certainly signals a lot to workers, and the actual magnitude of those tax cuts, well, look, it's far too early to tell. But I do anticipate that
would you be happy going back to your constituency if there is indexation, for example, and nothing else?
No, I don't think we're ready for indexation just yet. But that being said, you know, nothing has been decided as to, firstly, if there are going to be tax cuts, and secondly, how they will be applied. One of the issues with indexation is Ireland has historically very volatile inflation, certainly compared to our European peers.
So you seem to be very nervous, Shay, about committing to tax cuts. I don't understand why. There's $9 billion of a surplus.
Well, no, Claire. I mean, first of all, the $9 billion, a large portion of that is committed to the two sovereign wealth funds that we have, the Future Ireland Fund and the Infrastructure Fund, and it's very important that we continue to contribute to that and use that for investing. I'm not necessarily nervous about tax cuts. What I am being hesitant about is actually making a call here in April for something that's going to take place, be decided in October, and take place in the coming year.
Jack Chambers and Simon Harris did it yesterday.
In a situation where we have unprecedented global geopolitical problems that are totally out of our control, and we are very exposed in this current scenario, particularly because of the underlying energy issues that surround it. We also have tariffs in the background and other issues that we do have to be cognizant of. Mm-hmm. So much as I would like to see tax cuts, and I hope we get to a position that we can have tax cuts, and look, I believe that we do, because I believe the underlying economy is actually quite solid. I'm not going to tell you in April that is definitely going to happen.
Okay. Just on the USC, Tom, and you told us what the USC is used for there. A listener says that's incorrect. It was introduced to bail out the banks, and now it's time for the banks to bail us out. They are in profit every year for the last decade. The country is crying out for fairness. Help the workers by getting rid of the USC.
We should absolutely help the workers, and the best way we can do that is realizing collective bargaining rights to enable workers to get higher wage increases. That's how living standards generally improve over the longer term. If we cut taxes, it means less spending for the welfare state, for education, for health, for pensions, for the green transition, for paying for demographic change. The USC. Yes, we did bail out the banks. Of course, we did, and we used up our National Pension Reserve Fund to do that, and a lot of other resources. But the reality is, we did have a massive deficit, even if you exclude the banks. And the USC was brought in because we had so undermined and debased our taxation system over the previous decade that essentially we were just bringing us back to where we were before. Okay. But it's something that people don't like necessarily, but it's actually one of our better taxes in the sense that it's fairer, in that you know, rich people aren't able to exploit tax loopholes and tax exemptions to kind of get around it in the way that they can.
People have an issue with what they get for their tax in this country. Like this listener says, in other countries, you get value for the taxes you pay. We get very little for our taxes here in terms of services and health, etc. Another one, I have to pay a fortune for private healthcare because I can't get seen publicly for years. I pay privately for all of my children's assessments because we were waiting 5 years and that would have been detrimental for them. I pay for all of their therapies with no support from the government. I receive nothing for the vast amount of tax that I pay. So really, Shay, people have a perception of the fairness here, that if they're paying what they see as being high tax, they expect to be getting the services in return, and they don't see that that is happening.
Yeah, and look, I think that's fair, but it is important to point out that that the government has been investing not only in the economy, but also in providing services to people, and have been doing so consistently over the last number of years. Now, individuals may feel hard done by along the way, and you know that is something that we're continuing to strive to address. But look, it's important to say that, and to say once again that you know, workers out there have really been the main contributing factor to our economic success. And if we're in a position to give back to those workers directly through tax cuts, then that is something that I would very much welcome. However, we do need to see how this plays out over the coming mm-hmm. months. And, you know, the things to watch are obviously the upcoming summer economic statement, which will be in June, will give us a clearer picture. We'll also be much further down the road in terms of international affairs and where the situation in Iran stands.
Okay. Shay and Tom, thank you very much for being with us.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.